Welcome to the Mastermind Your Launch podcast, broadcasting live on Business Radio X. Your place for weekly entrepreneurial lessons from Atlanta's most inspiring technology startups. And now your host, Stephanie Diaz.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Mastermind Your Launch podcast on Business Radio X. We are live from the Roswell Infinity Studios at Digital Ignition in Alpharetta. Welcome to the show. I'm so excited because today I welcome my good friend, James Oliver of We Montage. James, tell everybody what's up.
What is up?
We are going to have fun here today. And if you want a behind the scenes look at James and I cutting up in the studio, you can follow at North Fulton BRX. We'll be live tweeting some photos of us in the house. But James, isn't the entrepreneurial journey just so funny? Just the way that it takes you and the people you run into. Yes.
Exactly.
I think before we jump into We Montage and all of that stuff, I'd like to share the story of how you and I connected.
Yes, please do.
Why don't you tell it?
Oh, yeah. So I have four-year-old twins. I call myself co-founder of the world's cutest twins.
They are pretty cute. I mean, they're like really like adorably cute.
Yeah, good thing because, you know. Good thing they're cute.
They test you.
You know, oh, Lord. So our kids are in the same daycare. And I just moved back to Atlanta. I've been gone for like 17 years. I lived here for 12 years. You walked in and you had on a Startup Atlanta t-shirt. And that was one of the things I got plugged into when I got here or found out about. And I was like, hey, and I think it was a mentor t-shirt, right? You said you were a mentor.
Yeah. Well, I think it was just the general t-shirt. But yeah, it was the Atlanta Startup Battle.
Oh, right. Because I had, applied to that.
Right. So, and I had participated as a mentor for the startups. Yeah.
So I applied to that. And I was like, oh, hey, cool t-shirt. Like, where'd you get that from? Like, my eyes opened up so big when I saw that t-shirt. And you told me that mentorship story. I was like, oh, my God, this is amazing. Like, I just moved back to Atlanta. I have my tech startup. And I'm just trying to get, you know, plugged in and connected to the Atlanta startup ecosystem. And you've been one of a few people who have just been amazingly helpful, and I'm just thankful to have met you.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for all you do, too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the second you said, I'm trying to get plugged into the Atlanta startup community, I'm like, well, it's your lucky day. We're about to plug you in.
Bam.
Yeah. And now you're everywhere. You're at, 1 million cups. You're at, all these other startup events and everything. And it's so good to see you out there moving and shaking in the Atlanta startup community.
Girl, I'm doing the best I can with what I got.
You're doing a great job. And we're going to talk about that hustle today.
Oh, Lord. That's what I know how to do for sure.
Right. So now let's go back. Let's hear a little bit more about you and We Montage.
Sure. So WeMontage.com, that's WeMontage. WeMontage.com is the world's only website that lets you take your digital images and turn them into a large collage on real, removable wallpaper.
Where did you come up with this idea, first of all, like in the first place?
Yeah. So my wife was watching an HGTV show and they were in the family's basement covering the wall with these really big, beautiful collages. And then it was like the proverbial like aha moment, like clouds parting, angels singing. I was like, oh my God, this is so cool. Like, I want this. I had these beautiful pictures from the Dominican Republic, which is where we got married.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I literally stayed up the entire night trying to figure out how the heck they did that, because they made it seem like anybody could do it. But the truth was, they have some super high-end digital printing shop in Manhattan that does all their work for them. And there was no way for me to do what I wanted to do. So I was on a radio interview with someone before, and he talked about how entrepreneurs solve problems they see.
Yeah. They experience, like most of all, the ones they experience themselves.
Right. Exactly. So that was a problem. And I started doing some research and I realized photo wall art is $500 million a year industry. And so I just basically created this entirely new category that does what We Montage does. And, the product's brilliant. So I'm thankful to have seen that on TV.
Well, I mean, ideas come to us all the time. We always get an idea. But it's rare that someone actually takes action. Usually you get the idea and maybe like 10% of people would even say, let me do a little bit of research around that.
Right.
And then it's an even smaller percentage that realize that, yeah, you can do this, but that still means that you've got a lot of work ahead. And then they actually sit there and do the work. So, I mean, don't just make it sound like I had the idea. I mean, it's huge. It's still a small percentage of people that would even do that.
Well, yes, that's very true. I spent the last $30,000 of my savings and to build a very complicated website. Because it's crazy. Like, I'm that dude who charges head first down the path of building a website that requires complicated software, and I don't know how to code. Like, who does that, right? So I believe my mother when she told me I could do and be whatever I wanted in life. So if you're looking at, start up with a hacker and a hustler, I'm the hustler, so I don't know how to code. But, we got the beta version of the website built. A good friend of mine, he's on my advisory board. He wrote the iPhone and iPad app for Pandora.
Wow.
Like, back in the day. And so he tells me, he goes, when you're building software, many of your listeners probably know this already, but I was a little late to the party. They're like, when you're building software, you can build it fast, really well, or inexpensive, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I have champagne taster and a PBR tall boy budget, right? So I wanted it really good and really inexpensive, which meant it was going to take a long time. So that 3-month time frame budget just blew right through that. It took a year.
Wow.
To do that. And I was not financially prepared for that. My wife decided at that time that she wanted to have kids. And, I like to joke and say, hey, listen, when your wife tells you she wants to have a baby, it's going to be some babies. It's going to be some babies. So we were, we were having trouble conceiving. So we did IVF and we put in two embryos. And we're lucky enough to get the two kids.
Aww.
But I told you my kids were born prematurely.
Mm-hmm.
They only weighed 3 pounds, 2 pounds, I'm sorry, 2 pounds each when they were born. That was like right before I was supposed to start the Startup Accelerator, which I went through up in Wisconsin, in Northeast Wisconsin.
So what a time. Challenging time for you. Not a lot of sleep for many, many different reasons.
No.
So, but you've got that drive. You've got that, I'm going to stick to it.
Right.
You talk about that hustler mentality. That to me, hustler is you've got a problem and you're very resourceful in how you're going to find it. You're
right.
going to make something out of nothing.
Right.
But it's a completely other part of yourself that you have to connect to when just so many things are stacked against you and you keep climbing up that mountain regardless, like one foot in front of the other.
Amen. A friend of mine, he sent an email out on his marketing list and he asked a question, what's the one thing in the world that you are world class at? What's the one thing that you are better than anybody else in the world at doing? And I'm like, I know what that is. For me, it's just persistence and resilience.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be hard pressed to meet somebody that's more persistent and resilient than I am. And thank God for that, right? Because you look at one of the great books I read was by Ben Horowitz, The Hard Thing About Hard Things.
Mm-hmm.
Have you read that book?
I haven't.
Oh my God, it's so good. Ben Horowitz is famous venture capitalist. And Steve Jobs actually made a similar comment. I saw a quote the other day. But Ben said, the only difference between successful and unsuccessful CEOs of new companies is the successful ones, they just don't quit. And even when you don't think you have a move, you have a move. So figure out what your move is and go make it, right?
And I love that.
And Steve Jobs, the quote said something to the effect of, he's convinced that, more than half of what differentiates successful people from unsuccessful people is the successful ones, they just don't quit. They're persistent. And maybe it's because I'm a Taurus, but I'm stubborn as hell.
Well, I mean, I agree, because we're not always going to have the slam dunk on that first shot. And rightly so, because if you did, then you would do it all of the wrong ways. Every time you get kind of put back to square one, you arrive back there, yes, but you have so much experience and lessons under your belt. So you can kind of adjust, pivot, is
right.
the popular word,
right.
And then go back to the drawing board with new insights in a better way.
Yeah, no, 100% agree with that. But you got to, you made the comment about a lot of people they will have an idea. I like to say ideas are worthless.
Mm-hmm.
It's the execution of good ideas.
Oh, 100%.
That
yeah.
matters. And, once you get going, especially if you're going to do a startup, I've been to startup weekends and startup weekends are awesome, right? But, I've seen companies try to come out of that and, they just don't make it because, you know, people for whatever reason just really aren't committed.
Mm-hmm.
And once you, it's great to say, oh, this is a fantastic idea. But when you start digging into it, you know what? It's not easy to actually execute it, right?
Right.
And so if you're going to start a startup, I think you need to be fully committed to that because there will be bumps in the road. And like, how will you respond when there are bumps in the road? And the other thing, and this is a bit of a tangent, but we could come back to it later if you want. But I think the most important thing, you know, other than having a, you know, a great product at a good price, if you are like married or in a serious relationship with a significant other, the most important thing is to have a supportive spouse or partner.
Mm-hmm.
Because in my opinion, if you don't, either the marriage or relationship will fail, or the business will fail,
or
both will fail.
Yeah. We're just going to put a pin in that and come back to that. We can come back to that in just a second.
Lord.
But I want to, what I want to focus on right now is something you said about, you know, ideas are worthless.
Yeah.
There's, I actually talked about this on the show a few weeks back. The difference between a big idea and a brave idea. You know, a lot of people get ideas that could be big. Mm-hmm. And then you'll hear, these are the same people that you hear them 10 years later. Oh, I had that idea.
Whatever.
I know.
Whatever. I was rolling my eyes.
I know. But what I tell people is like, don't dream to have like a big idea. Like I'm going to have an idea and it's going to get me rich. Wish for a brave idea. Something that has the potential to be big, but also like connects so deeply within you that you're going to become the person you need to be in order to execute it.
Oh, wow.
Like you find that bravery because you have connected to the right idea, the one that is so you that the world wouldn't buy it from anybody else. They
wow.
want it from you.
Wow. How do you do that? That's amazing.
I'll tell you how you do that. The first thing you have to do is you have to find out who you are. A lot of us are floating through,
wow.
not even knowing who we are.
You mean we actually have to sit down and do some introspection?
Oh, yeah.
We got to put the social media down for a second and figure out who we really are?
Well, and let me tell you that, I mean, I can't speak for everybody. You know, there's not like an online course or a one book that's going to help you find that. For me, I mean, it's been like a process and a journey, but I think it starts with following your gut. Mm-hmm. Following the breadcrumbs mm-hmm. and starting to cut away at everything you know isn't you. You might not know like so clearly, you know, this is who I am or have like total, like you might have a fuzzy vision in your head
right.
of I feel like this is who I could be. And you'll know that because you'll see other people kind of doing things mm-hmm. and maybe you'll get a little jealous. Mm. You know, you're like, hey, how
or jelly, as my teenage
the jelly, yeah,
niece is saying,
yeah. So you might get a little jealous, or you might say, you know, I could do that, and that's a breadcrumb. Because if you are resonating with what someone's doing, and you can kind of see yourself in it, then maybe that's a sign. Because there is also a lot of people out there doing things that you don't resonate with at all.
Right.
I say, you know, people jump out of planes all the time. I have no aspiration to be like them.
No, gracias.
You know, but I see people making big impact in the world and helping others, and I want to be like them. So that's a clue to me, sweetie, move in that direction. And then you start cutting away the things that you know aren't you. It's the toxic, you know, the things that just like keep you up at night, the things that rub you the wrong way. Like that's, you know, you don't have to tolerate that stuff. Be really intentional about cutting it out. And so those things together can start to bring you to a better place where that big idea, that brave idea can find you. Because a brave idea isn't going to find you when you're living a life that isn't for you. But when you start to step into that, you start to get a lot more inspiration.
Well, let the church say amen. So, no, I think that's a tremendous point you just made. And so we haven't talked about this, but I also wrote a book recently called The More You Hustle, The Luckier You Get, You Can Be a Successful Parentpreneur. And one of the chapters in the book speaks exactly to this. I ask the question, I say, you know, be what you are. What are you? Like, what are you? Like, mm-hmm. whatever you are, like, be that. Like, do that. Like, life is short. We don't get any do-overs as far as we know. So, like, be what you are. And that's exactly what
yeah,
you just said.
Exactly. So, yeah. Let's talk about the book a little bit more.
Okay.
Yeah. When do you get the inspiration and the time to write a book?
Man, listen. So I started a blog back in 2014 after launching the business. Because when I finished Accelerator, we raised think all in, we raised like $330,000 and I raised another $100,000. It was like 18 months or so later.
Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. So I started the blog Trep Life Dad, TrepLife Dad, TrepLifeDad.com, with the intention of using the content for the book of the blog to inspire.
What's Trep Life?
Entrepreneur. Trep.
Oh.
Sharp Entrepreneur.
Oh, got it, got it. Okay.
Trep Life.
Yeah.
So I had a lot of articles, most of which were just kind of like streams of consciousness, you know, things I was experiencing on the startup journey, you know, celebrating the wins, writing about the bonehead mistakes I was making, but all with the intention of inspiring people who are entrepreneurs, primarily, but also people who are parentpreneurs or parents and entrepreneurs. So in 2016, excuse me, I was actually in Texas for a week. I was filming CNBC's version of Shark Tank, West Texas Investors Club. Mm-hmm. So I was on that. And so I was out of town for a week and I didn't have a lot of distractions. So I had a clear head. And I banged out like the first half of the book.
Wow.
Yeah. So basically like 2 years later, I really got started on the book. And what's cool is, you know, for a long time, I knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur. But going back to what you said about, you know, being intentional about being what you are, like I wasn't doing that. And I just decided back in 2011 that I was going to be what I am, which is an entrepreneur. So from a work standpoint, you know, entrepreneurship, that's my work, right? That's what I do. Mm-hmm. But from a purpose standpoint, my purpose in life, I'm like clearer now than ever that that is to inspire not just entrepreneurs, but people who are parents and entrepreneurs. And that's why I wrote that book. And the subtitle is You Can Be a Successful Parentpreneur. And I mean, like you, man, you're an entrepreneur. You have a you know, handsome young son.
Yeah.
And you know, most of my friends like that, they don't really feel like they can relate to a lot of people. They can't talk to many other people because they don't understand what we're dealing with. And so I'm just like, listen, you're a parentpreneur. Like, I see you because I'm one. I feel you and I got you. And the book is, I've been told like the book is like a support group or therapy session for entrepreneurs and for parentpreneurs, which is hilarious.
Yeah. You know what? Let's get into a therapy session right now about being a parentpreneur. Because it's true. I'm dealing with it. And it's funny. I mean, you and I have conversations usually when we're like, hey, what's the next networking event you're going to go to? It's all around like, well, it's the kids. We're gonna, do I have someone to watch the kids and exactly. All of that? I mean, what are some of the other things that you see that parentpreneurs face that, you know, some of the other people in the startup space just don't?
Man, one of the biggest things is, yeah, I call them the weapons of mass distraction. Right, mm-hmm. Social media, email, the phone even, because I have like live chat on the website. There's a phone number on the website that customers can call. And, you know, I'm trying to, my kids are four now and they require a lot of attention. But in the midst of all that, I'm still, you know, the business is not, you know, while we've got about $300,000 in total sales the last couple of years, we're not exactly crushing it, right? So I'm always grinding in search of that, you know, scalable, repeatable business model, right? So I can get this business to the next level and spend more time working on the business instead of in the business. Just trying to be sufficiently present when dealing with the kiddos, man. Perfect example. We're at the pool on Father's Day on Sunday, and I got this woman sending me an email. So I respond once or twice, and I was like, you know what? It'd be better if I just pick up the phone and call her. This was like a $600 order, mm-hmm. right? So I just picked up the phone and called her real quick. But we're at the pool. It's Father's Day, for crying out loud. I mean, it was only a 5-minute conversation, but like, I need that $600 sale. You know?
These are the trade-offs that you have to make sometimes.
Exactly. And, you know, my wife doesn't always like it, but I'm like, hey, I'm sorry. Like, I'm doing the best I can. But it's just, you know, I read an article yesterday on CNBC.com. It was with Gary Vaynerchuk and Damon John and all these people talking about what it takes to be successful. And all those guys were like, you got to work your butt off. Gary was like, you need to be working 18 hours a day in the first year of your startup. And I'm like, well, I don't know about all that. But I get his point, right? It's impossible to work 18 hours a day if you have a child. Mm. It's not possible. Yeah. So it's hard, man. Then you got to try to find time and take care of you.
Right.
And oh 100%. My God. Oh my God. And like the most, I said having a supportive spouse is important.
Yeah.
That's 1A. 1B is the most important thing is mental health. Like I cannot overemphasize the importance of good mental health, right?
So, and what does that mean to you? Like, if that's not clicking for someone right now, like, how do you keep your mental health?
So
how do you stay like from being committed in this?
Right. So mental health, meaning, you know, you're in a positive frame of mind, or at a minimum, like neutral frame of mind, because if you're negative, because if things go badly and you go down the rabbit hole, you know, i.e. like depression.
Yeah.
Because that's a real thing for entrepreneurs.
For sure.
You see people like Brad Feld and writing and talking about this. And every time he sends an email about it, I email him back and I'm like, you know, thank you for talking about this, because this is no insignificant thing. Right. So the most important thing is good mental health, because, you know, if you're in a negative mindset, you know, successful people don't want to associate with negative people.
100%.
Right.
That's what we were talking about. You got to cut all that out. Don't be one of those people for sure.
Don't be it. Also, if you're in a negative state of mind, now you're hurting yourself, because now you're closing yourself off from the inspiration you need to keep it moving.
Mm-hmm.
Right. To get that next partnership opportunity, to close that next sale, to figure out where the next opportunity is going to come from. So if you're down in the dumps, man, you're like, forget it. That's not going to happen, because your mind is not even going to be moving in that direction.
Right.
So for me personally, meditation is the one thing. Like, you know, there are times when I can feel like the anxiety monsters churning, you know, trying to turn my belly to a pulp, you know, to sit down for 10 to 15 minutes and meditate. Man, it makes all the difference in the world for me.
100%. I do not miss my meditation, that's for sure. Just that chance to center and clear. Like you said, it's just that chatter. I mean, and it creeps up, you know, and some days are worse than others, but you've got to keep it under check.
Yep. And also surrounding yourself with like-minded individuals. Like, go to meetups, connect with people who are similar to you in that respect, that you could just talk to and bounce things off of, that could be a sounding board for you, or just tell you, hey, like, knock it off. You're going about it all wrong. Like, snap back.
Yeah.
So mental health is just, it's everything, man.
I love it. Yeah. Well, and like you said, especially for those that are, you know, juggling so much with being a parent, you know, being a spouse, being a business owner, there's just so much there that takes your, and then self-care, you know, like, that rarely gets brought up, you know, but it really is got to be in there. It's a non-negotiable.
Yeah, I will admit that I'm failing at that right now, but I agree. You know, whatever it is, if you like to go to the gym, go to the gym. If you like to ride a bike, like, ride your bike.
Yeah.
If you like to play golf, go play golf. Whatever you like to do, make time for that, because if you can't take care of yourself, really, like, how can you effectively take care of somebody else, specifically a kid, right?
Right. And sometimes it's just a little bit that can really, like, change the whole day. A 5-minute walk outside can do wonders.
Amen.
Yeah. I love it. Where can people go if they want to check out the book?
So the book website is themoreyouhustle.com. You can buy it there, or you can just go to Amazon and do a search for The More You Hustle, The Luckier You Get. And you can find it on Amazon as well. The book website is nice because it has a lot of the backstory of me and my experience and pictures of the business and the kids and all that stuff.
I love it. Well, before we close, I want to know, I mean, you know, you're now, you know, here in Atlanta. You guys moved when?
Early March.
So it's still, I mean, it's still pretty new.
Yeah, we didn't move into our house until the end of March, but yeah.
So how are you enjoying the Atlanta community? God. What are you loving about the Atlanta community?
So excited to be back in the A.
Yes.
Oh my God. It's just, you know, everybody's so willing to help. You know, Stephanie, you're a perfect example of that. I mean, I just came back from the Kettering networking group this morning. I got connected to by somebody I met through, like, my affiliation with 1 Million Cups.
Mm-hmm.
So he invited me to that to pitch these, you know, connected Atlanta executives whose whole purpose is to help entrepreneurs. And it's just the whole startup ecosystem here is just awesome. I'm just so thankful to be back in Atlanta.
Oh, yay. I love hearing things like that. Yeah. Glad that you're finding, you know, your home and so many people are rallying behind you. And what you offer is so unique. So, you know, listeners, check them out at wemontage.com. You know, spruce up your space.
That's right.
And themoreyouhustle.com as well for the book. James, thank you so much for being here today. It's so fun running into you every day at daycare when we're dropping off our kids, but also just knowing about your story. And I mean, we didn't even get into everything today.
Oh, no.
I mean, there's just so much about your story. You're a true entrepreneur. That's what I want to say.
Oh, thank you.
Let everybody know that. Yeah. So thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you to the listeners. Thank you guys for tuning in. And remember that today is a great day to face forward and mastermind your launch.